You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
What is up, motherfuckers? Yeah, that's right. Luis J. Gomez, coming into your homes, coming into your hearts, coming into your minds and souls. No Zach Amico today. No Chris Scopo today. Dave, stop kicking the fucking table. You're making my coffee spill everywhere. Dave Smith, one of my best friends in the world, is here to fill in. Doing the work of two men. One Dave Smith. That's how talented you are, Dave. That's how good I think you are. You can't come
doing in. Doing the work of two men at the body weight of half of one.
Big J Rose, everyone. So look, guys, here's the deal, man. This could be a fun show today. I figured I'd bring Dave in today.
We traded Zach for Dave. You traded the funniest quick guy you know for the funniest long-winded guy. You know?
Yeah, Jesus Christ, you guys have complete opposite styles of podcasting.
I consider myself a sniper, but I use an Uzi.
Yeah, you know, you're a sniper. No, you're more like a fucking...
Zach's
a sniper. You're like a dude, a demolition team who comes in and lays...
I just got a big old bucket of shit.
TNT. It takes you weeks to lay down your TNT around a building, but you take down the whole building eventually.
I'm what the conspiracy theorists think 9/11
yes,
is.
Exactly.
I put thermite at the ground
yeah, level. Dude, there's no way an airplane could just come in and take down a building like that. That had to be weeks of preparation. Dude, that was a Dave Smith job. So look, dude, we're going to have a great show today. I'm pumped about it. Big J Roast happened this past Wednesday night. We're going to talk a lot about that. That's what this is going to be the post-roast special. We're talking about the Big J Roast. Dave Smith obviously was on the roast. My first roast, your first roast, a lot of people's first roast. And what I got to say completely and wholeheartedly and honestly is that I thought that was the best roast I've ever seen. I mean, I've seen all the Comedy Central roasts. I've been to a few like local roasts. I've obviously watched the Patrice roast or listened to the Patrice roast and watched the Joe DeRosa roast and the, you know, all of these smaller ones that are popping up now. Roasting, by the way, roasting back in the day, you couldn't even do it. Like Patrice was a very, very big deal. And it was like, because he was just fucking so awesome. People respected him so much that they did it. But you didn't really... People weren't really just roasting their comic buddies.
Well, it's all connected to the, you know, the big revolution in comedy and entertainment with the internet and shit like that. But it's a very interesting thing because for how much, you know, particularly like guys like myself and you, we can harp on like what we haven't gotten and what hasn't been handed to us that maybe some other guys we know have. But yeah, I always got it like and we look back at those 80s guys like, oh, they all got development deals and shit like that. But I'm so fucking thankful that we can just get in front of our fans whenever we want to. Like, we can get in front of our fans every week, multiple times a week. Like, we're just doing this right now, and then I'm going to do a part of the problem. And, like, we can just, you know, they couldn't do shit like that. They couldn't just have a roast and have thousands and thousands of their fans all, you know, tune into this website and watch it.
And even beyond, I think, just the accessibility and being able to reach out, which you're 100% right about. It's almost like podcasting is a cross between radio and social media. It's like this hybrid of like you just being in touch and just being in constant. Like back on the radio, you didn't have the type of access to these radio DJs.
You were trying to pitch the first ever podcast in a meeting.
No, it sounds like it's from the fucking future. It sounds like some Terminator shit, you know? But what I also noticed now in comedy, alt is the wrong word, but it is an alternative type thing in the comedy world right now where people are doing these types of shows. Obviously, Roast Battle is very huge out in L.A. They brought it to New York. They're bringing it actually to the New York Comedy Club.
Ross is doing.
Yeah, Jeff Ross.
He's kind of made it like a big thing.
Jeff Ross kind of brought roasting to the forefront and made it this cool thing. And now people are just kind of doing it now. And, oh, you know, obviously other things too. Like, you know, there's like that show Setlist and Big J has his What's Your Fucking Deal show. Ari Shaffir's This Is Not Happening. The Mashup show, the Dark Comedy show, the Naked show. All these shows we've talked about a million times. And there seems to be, and this is why I never shit on Caitlin Bailey for doing something like the Naked show. There seems to be.
Never shit on Caitlin Bailey unless she asks you.
Yeah, I mean, it costs an extra $200. So. But there seems to be this thing in comedy where comedians are kind of testing themselves to go out of their normal their normal limits with which we fucking we hold on to our sets. Our, here's the thing we have as comedians. When we go up on stage, you have your jokes. This is why the first couple of years, no matter who you are, you kind of stink at comedy because you don't have all those jokes worked out. So now I know if it's going bad, I know I have a few jokes that I could always just go to. I mean, really, at this point, almost like half my set, I could just, they're all kind of tried, true, and proven. Whereas when you do something like these, all these other shows, especially a roast, you're saying this shit for the absolute very first time,
and no it is question.
Extremely nerve-wracking.
It's a weird, as a comic, you know, you go in, like, you know your material. It's just something, it just gets kind of like, I don't know, it's a weird thing, like, you just, it becomes in your brain, your material, you just have that, and then you know that. It's almost like a throwback to being a very young comic. You know, you're like, oh shit, what are these jokes? What
then, well, that's say? The and nervousness of doing something like that, and you get up there and you're like, holy shit, dude, I'm nervous again. Wow.
I was really nervous for it. I was really nervous for that set. And just on top of the fact that I also had to follow Kurt and Mike, and Mike was just fucking annihilating with like really well written shit. And now like the type of comic I am, like I feel like I go on stage with like I'm very confident in my writing. I don't think that's something people would, you know, like shit on about me. But in that scenario, I'm just literally going like, Mike has just like layered right. This is just better writing than I have. Not that I can go like sell. I don't mean any insults to any of my writers. Anyone who helped me were great. But Vecchione is just like the highest level, right?
Right.
He really nailed it. Like he came when Vecchione's on, he's as good a joke writer as anyone. And
it's funny because I don't think people thought that Mike Vecchione was going to be the talk of the night.
Dude, let me tell you, I did Anthony's show at like a couple hours before the roast, and it was at the Creek live, kind of like a pre-roast show. If this is the post-roast,
yeah, post-roast. Post-roast show. Well, his doesn't rhyme, so sorry.
But he has more listeners, so you take your battles. So Vex just, you know, oh no, but I said on that, Ant was like, you know, who do you think is going to be the standout? And I said, Kurt, and he goes, yep, everyone's thinking that. And I go, the one no one's thinking it, but Vex's going to fucking steal the show. And he probably did. Even on a great roast, like you said, I would say it's one of the best roasts I've ever seen. I think Vex still stole the show. So that was tough to I had people be like, oh, you know, Dave's start was kind of slow. Like, yeah, I followed a fucking killer.
Well, here's the funny part. We were all supposed to do 6 minutes. Everyone was supposed to do 6 minutes, their sets, and it was supposed to be tight. With the chaos, Christine and the production team just really weren't paying attention to the time. They weren't throwing, they were sort of lighting comics if they were going really long. Mike did like 17 or 18 minutes. Mike did so much time. And here's the thing, he was murdering the whole time.
It was so good, dude. I didn't even care. You can't be mad at him. It was great.
Here's the deal, right? The only thing we can do with these roasts, like obviously it was a lot of fun. Obviously fans paid for it and they loved it and had a great time. Obviously we all wanted to get Jay and murder him and fucking through roasting him, show him our love and support, but we really wanted to smash him and kind of smash each other. Obviously that was all there, but there's these other underlying things that were there. The fact is Comedy Central was in the audience. Multiple Comedy Central executives were in the audience, 4 or 5 to be exact. And I'm watching them the whole time. They're cracking up. And something like that, you know, you look at it now today, in this day and age, we can put on a show like this, high profile enough of a show that would draw Comedy Central out. Somebody like Mike, that could be the difference between him getting a job writing on one of these roasts. And I pray to God that he is, because I don't know anybody else. Dude, here's the deal, right?
That's insane that he doesn't.
I don't want to speak for anybody else, but you know, I'll speak for myself. Dude, I had Joe List and Zach Amico help me with my roast set. And Joe List and Zach Amico, and I ended up helping other people get writers on the roast. So I went through a lot of people and I knew what people could do on in terms of roast writing. I was very, very involved behind the scenes in terms of setting up everything. It was me, Christine, and Rebecca who produced the roast, who I also want to thank Christine.
Big thank you to all three of you guys. Just I called you the next day and gave you a very heartfelt like thank you. It was just such a fun night, and you guys did such a great job putting it together.
Well, I appreciate that. But the truth of the matter is, Vecchione wrote everything by himself. That he prided himself in just coming out and writing 17 minutes of some of the best roast jokes.
And you could tell everything was written by him. If you know his comedy the way we do, that's Vex writing.
It's phenomenal, dude. I mean, look, I wrote a bunch of my shit that I did. Actually, some of my biggest laughs came off of my own shit that I wrote. Anything that was overtly ridiculously clever, just attribute that to Joe List or Zach Amico, okay? I mean, dude, these guys...
Well, the problem is, you know what I feel like? I don't know that you got this out of the process, but I did, is that I understood. I understand how to write roast jokes now. I don't know if you figured this out, but I figured it out. And all you have to really do is, like, you have to kind of, like, relax, have a drink, go for a walk, whatever does that for you, kind of relaxed. And then
let your asshole get loose. Let Rob Mayer slide his cock inside of it a few times, and then he'll brag about how he fucked you in the ass and wrote all of your Russian jokes on Facebook.
Rob Mayer did not help me at all.
Me neither. I won't let him.
Not a single joke.
I won't let him.
I would never have a writer who's going on Facebook saying I wrote for these guys. But by the way, if you let me finish my punchline on that, I was going to say then you text Sam Morrell and ask him to help you write jokes. Because Sam did text him. So that's where I was going with that.
Didn't know the joke, Dave. Sometimes you don't know. That's like I said.
Well, it was. If you give me 45 minutes, I'll get to a punchline.
Laying down the dynamite for 45 minutes.
It'll be an explosion. You just got to wait. By the end of the podcast, I'll
get
some
analogy for Dave Smith's style of comedy.
Hashtag Big J-Rose.
Dude, Vec, I mean, dude, obviously, I'm not going to play any of the clips from the roast. I didn't ask Ant and them. I think they wouldn't care if we did because I think it is promoting it. But I'll save that. Dude,
wait for that. Go join Anthony
Comedia. Go subscribe, AnthonyComedia.com. It's 2 hours and 45 fucking minutes. It was a long roast. Some of the jokes that I love from Vec, the one that he got on me that was just one of the funniest things I've ever heard. He was like, Luis J. Gomez had a baby a few years after his father was stabbed to death. C-section is how the Gomez men come into this world. C-section is how the Gomez go out of this world. Gomez men go out of this world. It was great.
He said Lewis is a comedian, like Anthony is a photographer for Ebony magazine. either way, also just for people like listening, because I know there's so many people like on Reddit like commenting about this, and I read a lot of it, and I do want to say like I do think a lot of people on Reddit are great. Look at that. Go to town on that one, guys.
Oh, realized podcast. All right, okay. What?
But you know, I'm looking at it, and there's so many people on Reddit who are so helpful and great fans and all this stuff. So I want to say something where you could still like be a fan of mine after hearing this. But listen, you guys are all retards, and me and Lewis are geniuses. Okay, so just understand that we are brilliant, brilliant comedians who understand comedy.
He's saying we're geniuses as like a monkey. I'm smacking my bowl into my hand. I'm going, it won't come out.
That's what happens. That's like when you see Einstein's flies open. Like geniuses can't be concerned with mastering every little common thing. But you just don't understand comedy the way we do. And so people just get it wrong with a lot. Like even when people be like, you know, on Reddit trying to go like, who's the least funny, you know, member of Legion of Skanks, Lewis or Dave or something like that. And you're like, no, you don't understand. It's Jay. The funniest guy in the world. No, look, Jay's Mike Tyson in his prime. You're going like, oh, this guy can't box. But you have no idea.
Yeah.
We're Golden Glove boxers. You have no fucking clue.
Well, that's the
what
funny
you're talking
part.
About.
Here's what people don't get. And I'm glad you brought that up because I don't really ever talk about this.
No, but let me just
this.
Finish that. I'm sorry, because I just want to make the point. And then please hang on to that. But just when Lewis says this is the best roast ever, or people go, oh, is that the best roast ever? It's not. Let me tell you something. When the Patrice roast happened, if someone had said Patrice and Bill Burr are the best roasters ever, people are going like, what are you, crazy? Those mid-level comics are the best. Yes, they fucking are. You have no idea the level of talent that was at that roast.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I mean,
Kurt, Mike, Jay,
Mark,
Ari,
Norman.
You're out of your fucking mind. It was an incredible
roast. Harris Stanton.
Roast.
I'm kidding.
Hashtag Big J roast. Hashtag Big J roast. And then just guys like Ant and Sal are like incredible comedic talents in their own way.
You bring up an interesting point. No, it's okay. It's not like, here's what people don't get, right? I could go do a podcast with Chris Scopo and Zach Amico. I do. I could just do shit on with guys on that level who are going to look up to me and who are going to kind of.
You could be Big J.
Right, I could be Big J. That's kind of what Big J does. Look, some people would have told you Big J should have done a podcast with Patrice years ago, or Kurt Metzger and Jay should have done it.
When we started the podcast, some people said he should have done one with Kurt. And by some people, I mean everyone.
Yeah, and honestly, we kind of thought that.
Including me and you, I said everyone.
When we started Legion of Skanks, when Kurt Metzger came on the first couple times, I remember Jay, we weren't very good at podcasting. So you'll watch Jay and Kurt have a conversation and ignore us completely. And then I remember me and Dave having a conversation, like, they're actually really good together. They should just do a show together. So funny, like years later, obviously Kurt has Race Wars with Sherrod, and now we have this. I think that could have easily just materialized in the world had one of us decided to turn left one day instead of turning right. It was such a, at that time when we didn't really give a shit about Legion.
Well, and not, and John, just I, that, there just was times so many the, things on top of that. Me and you
when
like,
I was
went
on,
through weird shit where we, I mean, like the way our friendship was kind of on the rocks when we first started Legion, which evidently some people tell me you can deduce that from listening to the episodes.
Episode 21, Lewis
but,
versus Dave.
But we were like in a really bad place. I think it points me, you know, all of us like, I know me and you were definitely close to quitting Legion many times.
Yeah, I remember I would, when I would get called to do YKWD, I would bail on Legion because Legion didn't always have like a regular schedule. We'd plan Legion, and then Bobby would call me to do YKWD, and then I would reschedule Legion altogether. So because YKWD was the same type of opportunity I feel like that we have now. Like when people come on Legion of Skanks, dude, I mean, Norman was telling me about this. Joe List was telling me about this. It's a type of social media activity after you're on the show. And I love it, guys. If you're fans of Legion of Skanks or any of our shows, tweet at the guests, tell them you love them, give opinions on the show.
No, that's why I'm fucking around when I call you guys retards. I really do appreciate like all the fucking fan support and stuff. And whatever your take is. I don't even give a fuck if you're tweeting at me that my set stunk or whatever. Like I got a few of those. Honestly, I've got a lot more positive than negative, and I get torn up on Reddit plenty. This one I didn't. They were distracted by some other targets, I guess.
What butt zero on Reddit? Melissa Ann says, Dave Smith just called me a retard on the Realist podcast, and I have no counter argument. Respect.
Well, that's
hashtag Reddit, hashtag he is right. You know, all right, look, dude, here's the other thing, right? So we're talking about how hard it is to come out and do this. And look, everyone on the night, and I really do mean this, and I'm going to get shit about this because I'm walking on anthills, apparently. I think everyone on the night did fucking surprisingly well.
But that's why when you say that, it's like when people go, but don't you kind of think when Lewis makes a comment like, oh, this is what happened with Ant Set, and you're all like, oh, what a retard walking on anthills. But do you ever just examine the possibility that maybe Lewis just knows a little bit more about comedy performing than you do and just kind of understands what happened a little bit more?
I mean, look, here's the thing. What do you define as a bomb? A bomb is if somebody goes up, it has a laughless set, people are booing him, people are telling him to get off, people are uncomfortable, people don't want it to be happening. I was in the room, dude. People loved Ant, dude. He had some clunkers. But, dude, here's the thing. We all had some clunkers. The difference is, this is the first time this motherfucker is doing something like this. This is something that we do every single night. If you go listen to the first time I did a podcast, watch how uncomfortable I am.
Absolutely.
In front of that microphone. You know, he actually...
Of course, me too.
He talked about it on his show. You know, he said, it's like Jordan when he went and played baseball. It was like, no, obviously it's not Jordan playing basketball. That's not his game.
People don't even know.
But he still went out and did the fucking game. It's not like he didn't go out and make the team and do what he had to do. And look, dude, you could shit on him all you want. People love to go onto Reddit and they love to shit on us. You guys, you have no idea. Anthony Cumia said yes to this knowing that he was going to be the only guy on the fucking dais that didn't have experience doing something like this. Sal, it's not that Sal's just a guy on a TV show. Sal is a sketch performer for years does sketch comedy in front of groups.
And that's
people.
What he did. He did a character. Let me say, he also, there's a difference between, and this is where I'm saying, like, you go understand that maybe Lewis gets some stuff that you don't. Sal went up there and did a gimmick or a character. He nailed the fucking character.
Yes.
And that's what was great. It was perfect.
Sal does. He nails characters.
It broke up the people doing traditional roast stuff and then kind of set it up nice for Ari and Soder and then Jade to just come crush again at the end. But it's like, no, Ant was the only one who wasn't a stand-up comedian who tried to do real roast
stuff. Well, yeah, also, Jay's wife, we had writers for Jay's wife.
Oh, okay, fair enough. That's right, I forgot. Carla, too. But look, here's the point I'm making, okay? Ant went up. He didn't destroy the way other guys were destroying. So by comparison, he wasn't like, yeah, this is what happened. Ant had, he didn't bomb. He absolutely didn't bomb. He had some really good shit. Actually, really, really funny jokes.
Yeah, the shit on Voss was great.
This is what he did.
Put an apple in Bonnie's pussy.
Translating, this is what happened if you want it on. I know he had Jim break down a set. I didn't get to hear it, though, on a show the other day, but he had Jim.
I listened to a little bit of it.
But this is what happened. It's just more, he had great stuff. He didn't fucking bomb. His delivery was a little bit off. That's what happened to me. If you ask me, it was like, look, I've never done a roast before, and I didn't have I'm very hard on my own set. I wasn't thrilled with my set. I said to you, I was like, man, I wish I could do that again. I think I'd fucking
nail it. Yeah, you have the worst set of the real comics.
I don't know if that's true. But either way, I wasn't like thrilled with it. It was good. It wasn't like terrible. But it's the thing where you go like,
I don't consider Bonnie a real comic, so...
Women aren't real comics.
Yeah, women aren't funny. Hashtag
but when
Big
you, go,
J Wars.
You go up there, you're like, yeah, no, you don't know. Here's the difference is that it's like being a stand-up comic translates to that a little bit better than being a radio guy because the timing of how to deliver a joke live to a crowd to get a laugh is like a thing that translates over. Ant is a brilliant conversationalist, and he used very much his conversationalist radio delivery, which didn't maximize his jokes. If you understand comedy, this is what happened. It's not that he didn't have good jokes. He had great jokes. He didn't maximize the punches kind of by delivering them in his conversational Ant voice, but there was very funny shit in there. Him asking Soder if he wants to take his seat here was hilarious.
That was phenomenal.
And that great bits,
and that had a
dude.
Huge pop, by the way. Here's the thing.
Yeah, people are crazy, dude.
People love to go out and hate, and I'm telling you right now, I swear to fucking God, there is no... Do you think that Anthony Cumia pays us enough money that I wouldn't give my fucking opinion on this. First of all, we have a contract. He can't fire me if I say his roast set stunk. Do you guys not understand the way this works?
Lewis hasn't read the entire contract. He can very much fire us.
It's completely in there. It's an entire page about do not say Anthony Cumia stinks at anything. I mean, dude, I would just fucking say it. Did Anthony Cumia have the same type of set that the comics that have been doing this for a long time had? Definitely not. But if you expected him to, you're an idiot.
Well, that's the other thing is that dude, it's been his perception.
If you watch these Comedy Central roasts and you expect Steve-O or Martha Stewart to have the same quality of set as a Greg Giraldo or an Anthony Jeselnik, you're dumb and you don't understand this part of the business.
I feel bad but almost.
Let me say this other thing. The important thing... You have Anthony there because he's such a fucking enigmatic personality, such a big personality. So much is there about him. He's such a big part of this show now. He came in and had the fucking balls say, yeah, dude, I want to do it. And I want to do it with DeRosa. Knowing that DeRosa would have murdered him in this capacity. DeRosa's a comic for fucking 15 years. DeRosa would have... Literally, dude, missiles out would have led to waste of Anthony Cumia.
And Ant knows like the Reddit atmosphere, like what his fans are. He knows how hostile that. Look, oh dude, you can say we're like just like sucking up to Ant or whatever. Why I know I've gotten shit for this before. Dude, I'm just telling you, when I defend Ant for the tweets, all this shit, I'm giving you my opinion. I'm a real ass dude. This is a real ass podcast. I tell you what I fucking think, but you feel however you want to. But this is what happened, Lewis, is that people think of Ant's the, you know, to a lot of his fans, he's a legend, whereas we're like these young guys who they don't know nearly as well. They think of him up here, so he should be dominating.
Right.
They've seen roasts on TV where there are, hey guys, added laughs in. Everyone doesn't kill at roasts. So when you see Steve-O delivering his awkward shit and then there's these huge laughs, they go, well, you did good with it, because you don't know.
Yeah, they're just they're cutting in laughs from the Chevy Chase roasts in 92.
There are roasts out there where the entire panel bombs. Go and listen the next time. How come this guy's killing, but he keeps telling the crowd they suck? Because he wasn't killing. This is what I'm saying they don't understand. And then people have the nerve to do this shit where they break down comedy and they don't understand and think they understand. So they go like, here, you want to analyze comedy a little for you. They'll go, well, Lewis's joke at the end proves that he bombed because he said that was uncomfortable and people laughed. And then I got one that they go, Dave's joke proved Bonnie sucks because he said she's good for a woman but average on a guy and people laughed. It's like, no, you idiots don't understand comedy. I'm sorry. Comedy isn't literally true because you get a laugh. It nudges at a point because you get a laugh.
Of course.
So the point Lewis was nudging at is like, yeah, Ant didn't kill the way these other guys killed.
I was talking
That's
about
why
his
it was
15-year-old
funny.
Girlfriend in the front row, actually. what was uncomfortable. I was looking at a child in the front row. I could smell her pussy on Ant's fingers.
So there's a point. Uncomfortable. But it's not literal. I'm just saying, but the Bonnie thing is like, no, Bonnie's not average. That's not what the proof. Bonnie's incredible. The point is that good as a woman does translate to average as a guy. So I was nudging at a truth. It's so people just don't
get
it.
People, now they're calling me the real ass turkey. They're calling me the Puerto Rican turkey snake. They're calling me a bunch of things like I'm flip flopping.
Some of them are good
because I made the statement after a set. I said that was uncomfortable. I think I said something along the lines of, "Aunt, I thought it was your first time at a roast, not first time in front of a microphone." Yeah, dude, there was some uncomfortable moments in a set. And the truth is that I was going to say that to somebody at one point. That was I said the same thing to,
made fun of me for fizzling out at the end?
Yes.
Which is great. It's fine.
Exactly.
It's
about Dave, I was like, I started off strong. You kind of fizzled out at the end, kind of like Bonnie's career. Both of those were kind of true, but they both are great. I mean, if you guys overanalyze every little thing that we say and do, you guys are going to have fun for fucking days on Reddit. And I think that's what it all really equates to. This is why I've been trolling the fans today, because people are saying that I'm walking on anthills now, which I think is a play on Greg Shells.
He talked about this on his show. He coined that term. It was hilarious.
I don't know. I don't know any of this stuff. But people are they get very into this. So I went onto Twitter, and I knew it. I literally said, I only went on Twitter because I knew it would get picked up on Reddit and get put onto Opie and Anthony, because I knew there's some fucking idiot who would think it's true. So I tweeted out to Ant. I said, I'd just like to publicly apologize to Anthony Cumia for everything that I said at the Big J roast. Please don't fire me, ... And then of course, within fucking minutes, minutes on the Opie and Anthony Reddit, time to reset the apology clock. There's a post, and somebody posted my thing. And a few people posted underneath it, what are you guys, you're an idiot. He's making fun of you guys. And I tweeted out like 10 minutes later I said, I'd like to also publicly apologize to Ben and Keith the cop for starting the roast 15 minutes late. We tried our best. So, but of course, people pick up on this and they're like, oh shit, dude. The fuck, I guess he got a good talking to. And said, hey, dude, what the fuck did you, what was up with those racist jokes at the roast? And Lewis, you want to be on this network, you're not going to fucking make fun of my racism.
First off, not only would Ant never say anything like that, Ant doesn't even talk business at all.
Yeah,
okay?
No.
The only thing Ant's ever said about the show to me is, can you pass me a beer? He's literally I'll be honest with you. Keith is the only one we talk business to. Ant is just like this hero figure who comes into the jacuzzi and then mythically like disappears.
If it wasn't for Keith the cop, Ben, and Garrett, we would all be living at Anthony's place right now.
And we would literally burn the place to the ground.
Anthony would never tell us to leave. Anthony would just be like, come on in, dude, open the refrigerator. And this is why people like Bobo and Big A end up living there and saying things to us like, oh, dude, don't worry. Just buy a pay-per-view on the TV. Ant doesn't care because Ant is too nice of a guy. And Keith the cop and Ben don't have business relationships with those guys. He'd be like, oh, yeah, guys, dude, don't do that.
Look, Ant's got a huge dick. He's great, man. He's really smart.
Listen to me, dude. I'm not being an asshole, okay? I'm not kissing Anthony's ass. I'm not just saying that he did well. For the sake of fucking the show, he doesn't give a shit if I thought he bombed. A lot of people said he bombed. It's fine, dude.
But it's not the only thing, he flubbed up. Honestly, like, dude, the funny thing is, like, we all flubbed up some shit. Like, not look, dude. You could see. There's no question. Like Kurt and guys like Mike, who have just like done, and Ari and guys like this who have done more of this stuff. You could see that. You could see that they were a little more experienced.
I was nervous.
And there was
shit.
And Lewis, and like, but at the same time, you did great. Everyone's talking about how you did great. You had a ton of great jokes.
I forgot
you fucked up a few of them.
A full word. I was the joke was supposed to be Dan Soder's dad died before he taught him how to play catch, and that's why he always drops the ball when there's dead air on Opie and Jim, which still got a big laugh because I think
was great,
people
but
were
you
just
that's what I was saying. It was just one. It was a great joke.
I left the word dad out.
Yeah, I know.
So Dan's died.
There was that and one other one of yours that were I was just like, both of them were like, god damn, those
the
great
other one
jokes.
That I flubbed was it was a good joke, dude. I said Kurt Metzger once got into a fight at the Comedy Cellar. It was the only, it was supposed to go, it was the only fight he was ever involved in that also didn't include Dracula, the Mummy, and the Wolfman. What I said was the Dracula, the Mummy, and the Wolfman.
Yeah, and it just
but let me
like
say
that,
this
dude.
Here's the thing about comedy, people don't even get it, right? Me just saying the Dracula, that one little thing, it's so stupid, it's just one little word, but it takes you, everything is going fucking perfect, you're getting joke after joke after joke, everything's hitting, and when that something like that happens, it just sets this weird, I don't know, I can't even describe it in words, but there's a thing that goes through the room that everyone goes, huh, that's not how it's supposed to sound, it's not funny, and that one little moment, it's enough to derail an entire joke.
Yeah.
One word, one flub, one stutter.
One Bonnie McFarlane.
And people don't get that type of thing. This is why people don't understand. Like hecklers, they could fuck up a whole show. Even talking, if you're texting on your cell phone, the reason people freak out if you're texting on your cell phone at a comedy club, or a lot of comics do, is because I'm in my peripheral. I'm fucking looking at you text. Other people see me looking at you. They start looking over at you. Now there's a whole section over here watching you text, wondering why you're not paying attention to the show.
They just don't understand. It's this whole energy that you have to create. It's not just you don't even get what you're. It's like the layman just looks at LeBron James and knows he's the best, but you don't even get what it is he's doing that they're not doing. Like you do, and like you're
saying,
that's
why people don't understand how good Jay is, because Jay is the type of guy that will murder no matter how much the variables are fucked with.
Yeah,
Jay can fucking murder, and that, I mean, great comics in general are just comfortable
and Jay
in that
destroyed
moment.
At the end, he did great. Like, yeah, he always, but look, dude, it's like I said, like I said, I didn't feel like wonderful. I'm tough on myself as a comic. I know exactly what I did right and wrong in my set, and I didn't think I had like a great set, but I was okay with it. I kind of think we both feel around the same. Like, we wish we would have done it over. Think we could have done a little better with it.
I'd kill myself.
Would love
if
to
I
do
you.
Another roast again. Oh, but I mean, look, genuinely, like, I fucked a few things up. I got like 4 or 5 applause breaks in the set. I had
you
a fun.
I did great. And
well, here's the thing is that this is why I'm saying, like, when these Reddit guys come at you, it's like, look, dude, first of all, I know my shit so much better than you. I'm harder on myself than you could be. And then you come at me with shit where they're like, you know, people will be like, making fun of me because I fucked up that reference with Bonnie. And they'll be like, oh, Dave proved he has no improv skills. Like on that. And you're like, dude, I'm a very strong off my toes comic. I actually freestyled a whole bunch of shit in that fucking thing. By the way, is it people don't even really, they're like, oh, did I lose one round of Bonnie heckling? Okay, I'm doing something I've never tried before. Okay, I'm nervous. I'm following two killers who just annihilated, and I'm not being heckled by some person. I'm being heckled by a great comic.
Who, off to the side of me.
Who, by the way, and I hate to say this, but this is a fact, this is the reality, has every woman automatically on her side in that room.
Oh my God, I mean, it's a little. It was a little bit
the
much
guys
with
are
it.
Kind of starting to smell blood at this point. You hear the girls going, woo, woo. So she's kind of getting them just through the powers of fucking girl power. It's so funny, women don't realize the type of thing that is. Bonnie could, in that moment, could just immediately turn half the crowd on you.
No, and look, here's what
and half of them
were
already
happens.
Turned on you, so 75% of the crowd is already against Dave Smith in this moment.
It's not even true, dude. I didn't have a fucking bad set. They fucking love me. Just no, I'm just saying. No, I'm just saying. Like, genuine, because we're seriously analyzing like the fucking sets here. I'm just saying. Like, it. I know what I. But here's the thing, right? Bonnie is this thing. Like, I can't. Like, Bonnie said the thing about. I said a thing about I ran the joke by Rich because I was like actually worried about saying that, and she goes, "Oh, you're more scared of Rich than me," or something like that. And everyone's like, "Ooh," like the girl. Right. And I nailed her with the Rich kicked a guy in the chest thing. That was off the top. I said a couple other things like back and forth. And she does a. She said the thing. I go, right at the end, literally, I go, I think I'm doing Jay, and I go, should I rap on this? Am I over? And then she goes, you are over, or something like that. And I was like, oh, again. And I went, well, what did Vecchione do? 45 minutes? That got a big thing. Then she goes, he was funny, which I just got to say, I thought that one was a little bit shit, because that's kind of like the thing comics aren't really supposed to say to it. It's kind of the weakest heckle. It always gets a big O, and I'm already on Jay. I was literally going into my sentimental.
So this bothered you?
That one.
Here's the deal.
That one bothered
me. I'm gonna be honest with you, Dave. I can tell it bothered you a little bit.
That one
talking to you now about it.
That one. No, look, it's not. It doesn't bother me. I love Bonnie. I thought she was fucking hilarious. It just, I didn't do a good job recovering from it. I flubbed up the reference, and then I had to go into the Jay thing. I thought, and I did think my last thing would hit a lot harder. I thought the Soda show, the Soda special,
yeah,
line was gonna be good. So I just closed. I opened soft and closed soft. But I was doing great in the middle.
Literally the two worst things you could do in
it's
comedy.
Not what you're supposed to do. But look, dude, I would...
If that was an audition, that's called bombing an audition.
It's the worst way you can do an audition. I will not be at any Comedy Central roasts anytime
soon. All
right,
look, dude, look. Fucking here's the deal. Look, I think more than anything else, you know, the thing you get... And I don't want to keep on just fucking talking about Kumia and the concept of bombing. I mean, this guy... He fucking went out and got laughs, and I thought he did a really good job. And the night as a whole, I thought we walked away from it. It felt like a TV event. And I know people make fun of me like I haven't done any TV. I've done TV a few times.
I couldn't tell you.
Fuckface. Dave has never done TV. He's watched a TV a couple times, though. It's pretty awesome.
I've never owned a TV. Never been on TV.
You've watched one, though. That is not a false statement.
I have good friends.
But it felt the same type of energy in the air and the same type of vibe in the room that like a TV taping had, you know. And I do that.
Oh, and dude, it was just so good, man. I mean, like, I don't even know like where it, you're right, it was great. And just the level of comedy was so good, man. Like, it was so curtain mic open, so goddamn strong. And then to watch like Ari Soder and Jay close it out. I mean, it was Mark was great. Bonnie was hilarious. Bonnie actually truthfully didn't get the reaction she deserved. I felt like on a lot of her shit, because you were right. Like, the girls were way for it, but I was actually surprised. Like, but she had some great fucking jokes.
Yeah, Bonnie.
I feel like the crowd was getting a little like, I don't know.
They look, dude. There was a little bit of a lull in the middle because it was a long fucking night. But that's just the deal, man. We're thinking about when we put it out. We're thinking about maybe doing an edited version.
I'll look good in an edited version
that we put out eventually.
I killed in that edit of it. Forget what I said, guys. I destroyed.
I think the only way we're gonna always keep it unedited on anthonycumia.com. I know that'll be the case. But anyway, well, I'm gonna do some roast jokes that I didn't get a chance to do. Did you bring any with you?
No, I completely forgot to. I told you that. But can I just say, because we didn't say this before, Ari had one of the best sets of the night, and Ari had by far the most vicious set of the night, which should score you some points. In a roast. I rewatched it again. I mean, Ari went hard. Ari had the thing about, he said, what, Jay's finally making some money, which is good, because he's been, whatever he said, he's been living fingerless glove to mouth for the last years. He goes, the bad side is that poverty was your daughter's only chance to avoid obesity.
Yeah.
And he said, Dan Soder should leave his girl. She's an LA 6.
That's great.
Yeah.
No, he had a lot of shit on, Metzger fucking
Metzger beating his chick, having a drug problem.
Oof, great, dude. Oof. Great. Ari really went for the jugular on a lot of shit, too. Great one about me. Ari said Big J handled his weight problem the same way Louis J. Gomez should have handled his baby problem. Use the stairs. That was great.
Oh, that is good.
I didn't do this one. This is a good one for Dave, Ari and Dave Smith. Ari Shaffir did a bit about a one-armed fat girl. That's your comedy, shaming a pathetic loser? Boy, I can't wait to hear your Dave Smith chunk.
Seems kind of mean.
You know, when there's no laughter behind it, it sounds really like it's not that funny. It's so funny
days
how much,
after the roast.
So much funny how laughter just makes things sound funnier. It's such an addictive thing.
You could stab my mother to good laugh track.
Ari Shaffir looks like Alf with cancer. I tweeted that one out a while ago.
That is just an accurate description, whether you find it funny or not.
If that joke were any dumber, Bonnie would squander her career featuring for it. That's a good one. Let's see what else we got. I think I did everything I wrote on Big J. Dave Smith. Yeah, I think I did most of. I did all the Dave Smith stuff as well. I guess I did most of my shit.
Ooh, well, that was a good segment we did right there.
No, look,
I didn't bring any in, and you had two that you already tweeted.
Mike Vecchione. It was so hard to write for Mike, though. He's such a nice guy, and there's no. I guess he has no career. That's it.
I was actually surprised. I thought like some of the shit I had from. I was a little bit surprised by which jokes like popped and which didn't. And it had to do with me like fucking up delivery on some, I guess, and delivering the other ones well. But like, I there were like some I thought like these would probably be like the two strongest, and these, and then some that I thought like whatever, but they hit like harder.
Yeah, no, I didn't think like little things like Kurt Metzger has the likability of crib death. I said that one that got a huge fucking laugh.
Yeah, it's
didn't
weird
think that was going to get a huge one.
I was very interested by that. It really is the tighter ones really hit like the hardest.
Kurt Metzger, do people not like you because they know your personality, or was it because you drowned that little girl on a lake? If Kurt Metzger's jokes were any darker, Anthony Cumia would try to photograph one in Times Square and ruin his career.
I don't get the reference.
Let's see.
This is just uncomfortable. You're just telling me jokes. I feel like I have to pleasantly laugh.
Pleasantly laugh? You think they're funny? I don't know. Oh, this is why they didn't make the cut. I cut these all at the last minute. These were all ones that I had. Like they were in the set, and I started cutting things at the last minute.
Big J is a really great person.
And loves doing a show in the afternoon because now he can drop his girlfriends off at school in the morning. But whenever they make him breakfast, he gets beat up by the bottle of Aunt Jemima. The only reason Ant has Big J and Gavin on his network is because George Zimmerman didn't have a podcast he could steal from another network.
Nice.
That was Joe List. That wasn't me. I'll give Joe credit for that shitty joke. I'm not going to give him credit. I'm not going to give
so
him
so many bangers.
I'm not going to give him credit for the good ones. I'm going to give him credit for that shitty one.
You call him over the one shitty joke. Oh, that's great.
Harris is black, beaten up, and doesn't work, just like Dan Soder's father's liver. This roast is going to be a bloodbath. Well, I guess Harris will just have to be the judge of that. That was going to be like an interspecial.
You said only when I mean it.
That's a good one. Harris, your slow delivery annoys everyone in this room except for Ann, who pretended his mouth was wrapped around a curb. That I said that one, great. But I thought that's a great fucking
a
joke
great,
that needed to be repeated. Joke. Let's see. Everyone had a version of this is not happening joke. Harris got to tell it finally. Yeah, that's it, man. That's really all the ones that I had on the list.
I was surprised. Jay had like an incredible fucking set. Literally one of the best of the night, and I had to go last, which is, you know, the toughest thing in that like forum. But I was surprised he had the amazing racist. I'm surprised that was still there.
You know what it is? Because
I think everyone had a version of that.
We all had a version of the amazing racist joke. We all had a version of the this is not happening joke. Yeah. We all had a version, I mean, of this.
Mark Norman said, he said, I'm not going to make Jay fat jokes. He goes, that's low hanging fruit. And Jay wouldn't stand for that. Not for fruit.
Yeah, dude. Look, dude, go get the roast. You guys are in for a fucking treat. And look, if you're going to be an asshole and you want to critique every single moment and every single set on the roast.
You're already on my Twitter wall.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. But yeah, I mean, dude, I don't know what people expect. I really don't know what people expect. I don't really understand the expectations of people when you come into something like this.
They need to go watch like The Situation or something like that. Like
watch somebody have a bad stand-up set. You'll see what bombing is, dude. I mean, you can't get big laughs and people applauding in the middle of your set. if you're bombing. So that's just the fact. So maybe it's, look, dude, maybe it's fucking, if you don't really understand comedy, I guess if you want to just, for a lack of a better term, you could look at Ant's set and said he had the worst set of the night. I guess you could say that. Yeah, in terms of the laughter and throughout it, yeah, the worst set of the night. But on a set where everyone is doing great, on a show where everyone is murdering, and I'll say this, I can't give credit Carla for that because she just read jokes that other people wrote for her. Ant wrote all of his fucking jokes, with the exception of a few DeRosa jokes.
Dude, I mean, it's like saying like me and you truthfully had like two of the not as good sets, if you want to put it that way. I mean, like, I don't know where on the lineup, but I'm not saying
I
we murdered. Had the strongest one.
I murdered, right. Dave. I don't know what you watched.
You had
people
great
loved
material.
Me. People love me. No, dude, I'm going to be honest.
No, but you know what I'm saying. Like, it's like if you want to be honest, like the killers of the roast. But it's just like, yeah, the people who were the more experienced comics with more roast experience were tighter and more prepared. I don't know.
Well, I mean, forget that. I just
And the level was so high. Like,
I mean, you got to – we were guys who had writers for us. We weren't guys who tried – like, Ann tried to go in and fucking just give it a whirl by himself and do it himself. And I was legitimately impressed with a lot of the stuff that he did. So, yeah, whatever. I just, you know, the people on Reddit are going to just look for whatever it is. If it's going to be the roast, if it's going to be the next thing, they're going to look for things to hang on to. So that's why I tweeted that little public apology to Anthony. And we'll continue to troll the fans on Reddit. I don't give a shit. I think it's hilarious. Say I'm walking on anthills.
Yeah, whatever, dude.
I'd love to do it again, though. You touched on that before. I would love to, man. I think roasting is a lot of fun. Now that I've done it once before, though, here's the thing, and we kind of touched on it before. When you have your jokes, there's this confidence. There's in your pocket. I've just said, you know, the joke about my, you know, my baby being cuter than your everyone's. I've said that joke so many times at
this
point.
I would be so much more confident going into a second roast now.
Oh, of course.
I really feel like, I mean, I just feel like
even just reading, I remember being at home, just kind of going through my set, reading joke by joke, and going like, wow, dude, this isn't how I talk. This isn't like
just a different rhythm. You got to find that rhythm, kind of.
And it took me a little while. By the time I roasted Big J, I felt like I really had the rhythm of it down.
Yeah.
At the end when I went up,
that was probably your best. I thought.
Yeah, I just went straight through. And I just wasn't like I kind of got it already at this point. In the beginning, I was just trying to read the jokes, so I'm a little disappointed. And the truth is, people don't choose me as the roast master or the host because I'm going to stand there and read jokes. They choose me because I'm going to fucking go over the top.
No one's ever chosen you for anything because you're going to read jokes.
People have never chosen me for anything. But you know. It's a fucking really tough thing, and I would love another crack at it. I'll do every roast.
Well, I'll tell you, we talked about this before. I don't feel like I know what my skill set as a comedian is, and I don't think writing roast jokes I'm particularly good at. I think that just I know my like comic friends, and I see how they write and how I write. I'm not like particularly good at writing roast jokes. My style doesn't lend itself to that. But I think I 100%. Can do
it's
a
hacky.
Roast. Like,
here's
it's
the problem.
Easy.
You
know, it's like
the problem is you don't think that, first of all, you don't think in terms of short and roast writing.
No,
is
I know
really
that's a huge part
about
of it.
Writing short. So,
okay, it's probably literally my weakest quality as a comic.
You
are
like, you have to tweet like I'm pretty good on Twitter, I can write a good Twitter joke, so I think that's why it kind of lends itself
it's
a little
better.
Bit more to writing. Writing roast jokes, but it's like, I see what it is. It's kind of just writing hacky jokes. Really what it is, you look for something, you know, just something like that you can just put the twist on. You know, like I remember I was trying, I never got the joke out, but Big J was raised in West Philadelphia. So I was trying to get the concept of the joke was in West Philadelphia, born and raised, you know, the Fresh Prince thing, right? So instead of moving in with his auntie and uncle in Bel Air, he moved in with his fucking gross girlfriend and hack open micer roommate. You know. Somehow get that in a funny way. I just never figured it out. But the thing was West Philadelphia. I was like, oh, West Philadelphia, Fresh Prince. How can I turn that into something funny? And I never really got the punch on it. But that's just the process for doing it. And it's such a simple, stupid little thing. You know,
a lot of roasting and really good roasting is about finding a template like that, which is kind of more or less what you're doing there, like finding a funny template and then like putting comedy into it. But I mean, some of the funniest shit of the night was like when Ari did that thing where he's like asking questions, you know, what's the difference between Bonnie and this? What's the difference between this and that?
Yeah,
and
of course.
A funny,
so dumb.
A funny answer every time.
Why did Big J cross the road? Because fucking there was somebody he could cheat on his wife with. Boom. That would have gotten a big laugh. It's just stupid.
But there's something about that and how you put it together and the time. It's just a very different thing than what I do. And truthfully, a different thing than what you do and other people. But I think particularly for me, I just didn't feel very good. But
why did Christine cross the road? because she's attached at Big J's hip and he told her he'd punch her in the face if she didn't do it too. Something like that. That would have worked.
But I want to tell you, that I didn't. I still feel like I didn't.
Even, people just tuned out right now. People literally went, all right, I'm done with the show.
That might not have worked.
That's it.
But I do feel like that was it, that we both said that. It's like, oh man, if we had, like, if we did that again the next night, like, you know what I mean, had another crack at that, I think I'd fucking just destroy. Because even though I didn't go in like prepared like Vecchi owned it or something like that, we just kind of like, we know how to do comedy and kind of how to time things that if you get a couple shots at it, I'll know how to just pull applause
and
out of you.
And by the way, look, dude, people really loved us. They said we were hilarious. Here's what happens. You do this too, and I see, because you're not as into social media as me. You're just really getting into like it now, especially Reddit. Like, you just started really reading Reddit. So you're doing what I do, which is you're just fucking reading the negative comments and holding on to them.
Oh, no, I said that. I said overwhelmingly positive response. No, dude, I get torn. I know when I get torn up on Reddit when it was like, oh, this was a bad podcast or a bad thing. I got overwhelming, like, great shit. It's just hilarious. We were just going over analyzing, because really it was coming off you tweeting on the Ant thing and just kind of analyzing what people, to me, like, don't understand about what's going on here. You know what I mean? Like, that's all. And I'm a genius.
Mike Vecchione used to work with retards and will continue to until he finally quits comedy.
Oh, that burns on all of us.
Dude, I'll say they should roast Anthony at one point.
I mean, I think that's a great idea to have a roast of Anthony, especially now because he got all this heat, and then for him to go last, this will be the ultimate. Like, let him come in now with one under his belt, really fucking prepare,
I'll maybe I'll talk to Anthony about doing that next year.
That's an interesting idea, dude, because I had so much fun at this.
Dude, I'll
last
tell you, because here's the thing. I've been to local roasts. I was at the Joe DeRosa roast, and no knock on the Stand, because that's a fucking unbelievable club, and they're working me now, so I guess I have to say that. No, I'm kidding. They really are. They're fucking one of the best clubs in the world.
I got to check my email, see if I've gotten anything from Patrick, but I think they might be great.
He'll give you an opinion depending
on... I'm not sure
how
great they are.
What his email says this month. That's what comedians are too. We are just such fucking selfish, egomaniacal lunatics. A club is only good for how often they book me.
I like
really
the Laughing Devil better. I think it's a better spot to perform, really, if you ask me.
But it's like, fuck it. What was I just saying at the point?
I don't know. But you know, it's a great club, Eastville.
Eastville,
it's a great club.
That's one of the only clubs that I'll just literally just say, fuck that guy.
Caroline's was great last year.
Oh, we were saying about...
And Samantha stopped working there. Caroline's
no, we're saying about...
Apart.
Yeah, so, dude, this... I mean, this fucking... I mean, not knocking the roast at the Stand, because it was a great roast. The DeRosa roast was awesome, dude. I watched that whole thing. But... I mean, this was a production. This guy, Tim...
We just took it a lot more seriously.
Tim Levitsky, he made us that podium. We put a ton of time into the way the room looked, the way the stage looked, the way the dais looked, the music selection. The Mike Hellman from Legion of Skanks put together that amazing reel that he used for Big J to open up with, which was just fucking killer, dude. Really fucking funny. I mean, dude, we had gift bags for the comedians that had bags of weed and a flask filled with their favorite liquor.
It was just great, dude. It was so cool. Every detail was just perfect.
I mean, it was cool, dude. We have fingerless gloves for the crowd. It was a very special type of production.
And by far, like, the coolest part was just that, like, so many hardcore Legion of Skanks fans, like, were there. It was like a real... You know, it was like our fucking people. Yeah, it was
well,
cool.
I should talk to them. I mean, not even that I would roast Ant. I would love, obviously, the opportunity to just roast anybody again. I don't know if we're, you know, I think Ant has enough comedians and people in his life that I don't know if
I would love to roast them.
We'd make the dais. But in reality, dude, I would love to be a part of that. I'm going to talk to Keith the Cop and Ben and those guys and say, hey, dude, next year we should roast Ant. Like, next year, do it at a big fucking place.
I don't know, man. I think it makes sense to have Legion of Skanks and Gavin on it, dude, to promote the network and shit, you know? So, well, I don't know. Talk to him about it. See what
Gavin Rossdale from Bush?
Yeah. He's on... You
Glycerine!
Didn't hear? You didn't hear the news?
Glycerine! Oh, Glycerine!
Friday's 9 p.m. AnthonyCumia.com. He just got a show.
There was a chick named Lauren in high school that I had such a crush on, and I requested Glycerine. And then I asked her to dance with me to it. And we slow danced to Bush's Glycerine. Ugh.
Lauren, I wrote you a poem.
I'm going to play it. I will say Bush was one of these bands that was like a what do they call that? A secret, you know, what do they call that when you're not supposed to say that you like the music or... You know what that is?
Guilty pleasure?
Guilty pleasure. So it was a guilty pleasure. My sister used to really like Bush because she thought the lead singer was cute. And I used to be like, oh, dude, that's fucking the faggiest music on earth. I used to hate it. I used to make fun of her. My friend Yaver really liked Bush, too. I'm like, oh, dude, you're such a fucking queen. Bush. But I secretly loved every song. Every fucking song.
Did I ever tell you, dude, when I was, I was young. I don't know what fucking, I think I was at a summer camp, like at a day camp at the YMCA. This is a great song for me to be telling a poor Queen story to. They beat us every day. I was young enough that I was at day camp where there was a nap time. So this is like got to be pretty young. But they would play
13,
music.
14.
They would play music and they would play the Little Mermaid soundtrack. Yes. And dude, I loved it. Loved it. But I was young. I was old enough to know I wasn't supposed to love it. Like that was girly.
Yeah.
But it was the one where, hold on, just pause this for 1 second because I just want to get the song in my head. It's like the part of that song where she's like, up where they walk, up where they talk, up where they sing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That song? That song part touched of my soul. That part,
part of your world. Part of your world.
And I would try to get a nap spot near the boombox. But I would pretend I hated it. Like I would look around to the other guys and be like, ugh, Little Mermaid again. There was like one of three cassette tapes they would play, but that was by far my favorite one. And I would just pretend I hated it. I still love it.
I mean, you kind of love it. Do you? I was weirdly...
What do you want to take a nap to? Are you telling me this isn't a great option?
I was raised by a woman with my under... I lived with my great-grandma, my aunt. I was raised by my mom and my sister. So it was all women that were in my life. I had no male role models.
One was half mermaid.
Right down to my Boy Scout troop. My Boy Scout troop leader was... My Boy Scout leader was a woman who was Dan Doherty's mom, and my mom was the assistant Boy Scout troop leader. Down to my fucking Boy Scout troop, there was no male influence in my life, okay?
So I actually find what you're saying really interesting, and this is just, I'm just waiting for the music to come in. I'm just waiting for that one part.
Oh. Yeah, that's not the part you like.
Here, when it comes in big here.
Here, Dave. What would I give if I could
live out of these? This isn't my favorite part.
It's so funny. Now that I'm like an older man, I see Sebastian the Crab, and he just looks delicious. I want to tear his legs off his body and just fucking dip him in butter.
Shut up, crab.
Shut up. I want to take this fucking crab, drop him into a bucket of boiling water while he's alive. I mean this. I would do this in a heartbeat. In front of this fish bitch, and I would slice up this fish bitch, too. I would do... Dave, it really is taking you out of it. You can't even handle it.
I just love it. All right. Because you were being such a good thing. Can I say before about what you were saying? Because I'm the same way. I was raised by a single mother and had an older sister. And, you know, just being in school and stuff like that. I mean, you know, 80. And I happened to be in a school where we had a female principal, which is the only position that's typically filled by a man in schools.
She was filled by a man.
Boom. Big J roast. Mrs. Harper. She just got burned. I was in her office a couple times. But then, of course, you know, like whatever it is, just the average, like 80, 90% of teachers are like women or whatever. So, and it's very interesting in this kind of, you know, post-feminism, like divorced, broken up family unit country that we live in. It's just one of the many things that so flies in the face of like the feminist narrative for guys like me and you, particularly guys like, you know, you who were literally like beat by a wire with a woman. From a woman your whole life, where they come up and they go, oh, see, we live in a patriarchy where men are like the authority figures. And you go, okay, well, women have a lot of control over the kids. How does that never affect anything? Like, you guys are raising the kids.
You brought that point up as well. And, you know, I think it's something like, 80 or 85% of kids are spanked in this country. And the vast majority of people that are doing the spanking.
That's like, there's different numbers on that. But I think it goes between like 70 to 85% is the average, you know, what people...
Yeah, and the majority of people that are doing the spanking, because typically, you know, mothers are raising the kids, are the moms. So you have this other weird violence being instilled into the youth by these women, and nobody's really saying anything about that and how damaging that is.
Oh, it's a real thing. Incredible.
And I don't think it – look, I'm not saying that's a woman issue or a man issue, but you can't point that out. It always ends up being, oh, men are violent. Men are violent criminals. Men are the people that are doing mass shootings. Men are the people that are serial killers.
Well, this is the point.
Men are the people that are the violent –
But this is a thing I had really with your your ex-girlfriend?
And by the way, this came off of was my sister really liked shitty music and girly stuff. So I was going to say, it wasn't weird for me to watch The Little Mermaid as a
kid. No, that's what I'm saying. Like you, Cinderella. But you understood at some point when you went to school, like, oh, I guess I'm not really supposed to be. At least I did.
I weirdly didn't. I never really got self-conscious about that.
You know what? You never really became self-aware at all. So I get it. I get it completely. Now that I think about it, it makes perfect sense. No, but I'm just making the point. Like, look, I got in the argument because this is what you basically just said, which I think is a really great point. Where you go,
sorry, I just need a little bush on in the background.
But where you go, it's not. We're not saying it's a guy or girl issue. It doesn't have to be made out to be that way. But what's annoying is that that's what the left does about all these issues. So this is the argument I got in with your ex girlfriend Beatrice, when she's like, you know. What did she say, the thing about, like, no white men have ever been the victims of systematic oppression in this country? And I'm like, how about the military draft? Does that not count? It's just you don't think of it because we don't make it a, like, white men are predominantly drafted by the military. It's just a problem, which is fine. We don't have to. But you come at it with this.
You shouldn't, you know.
It's, no, we don't have to do any of this. There's different struggles for different groups.
It ends up being a thing, and I talked about this a lot recently on both SiriusXM and on Hammerfisting. It ends up being this weirdly like counter-striking defensive thing where we start to go, no, fuck that. You're being a hypocrite. So we start doing stupid things like that where we start to
hate it.
To really break down the struggle of the white man. And you go like, all right, no, honestly, I shouldn't be breaking down the struggle of the white man because the white man has had a lot of privileges too. But when you say that every white man is completely privileged.
And that they've never been the victim of
it, come makes
on.
Me go, fuck
what
you, dude.
This fucked
but
up
hold
thing?
On. The point that I was making was people were talking about defending that guy. That football player punched that girl in the face in the bar. And it's like, well, she hit him, he hit her. Obviously, he has more weapons. The way that I feel is like, no, you shouldn't punch a little girl in the face, even if she hits you. Forget the specifics of the story. I do feel like there is this thing in this country right now where, especially young white men, but men in general are kind of just fighting back. And there's this uprising of like, no, fuck you, dude. We're not just assholes and evil because we're dudes.
Can I tell you what it is, dude?
That's just as racist and bigoted as saying, oh, it's all black people are criminals.
100% right. That story was a very interesting story because it just shows, by the way, I'm not saying the guy was wrong, but it's like, does anyone want to mention that the chick was wrong too? Like, this is why you can't go punch someone. It doesn't seem like anyone wants to give that any attention. And this is the other thing that's just so crazy to me. I'm sorry. I know I'm so goddamn long-winded, but there's a couple points I want to make on this. But like, the one thing is like, okay, so yeah. So then it starts coming out in the media the next day. They go, oh, well, she punched him and then called him nigger. As if somehow then it's okay for him to fail. It's just that's the world we live in where nigger goes above being more fucked
well,
up
a lot of people
than punching him in the
face. They brought that up
it's
on
like,
Sirius.
It's like that's not, the word isn't the issue. The word isn't the problem.
We were on Fight Club and they brought that up and I was like, okay, yeah, it sucks.
But punching is the problem.
I would rather, as a comedian, as a broadcaster, okay, I would rather that woman be able to say nigger and not being punched in the face or put in jail for it. So I can try to be funny with the words that I decide to use. Because the minute you start to fucking have people subcategorizing what words people can use in this country, then it becomes a very dangerous thing for somebody like me who makes my living off of my words.
It's a dangerous thing for everybody, and people will figure that out over time. But it's, and you're right.
It's very threatening.
No, I'm just saying like this country's falling apart.
It is time.
But look, Gomites rise.
By the way, as the Gomites, they're dangerous people. Do not cross me. Everyone should know that.
But I just want to make the point that I think just everything about modern liberal philosophy just reeks of privilege, even though they talk about that all the time, because it's only someone who's never been punched in the face in their life would think being called a word is worse than being punched in the face, because it's just you haven't had a fist thrown at your face before. Everyone who has would prefer the word, but that's fine. But the point that you
words
were making,
hurt not as much as a fucking shin kick to the jaw. Trust me.
But it's just obviously. But the point that you were making, fuck, after that.
Smoking about the, pot on the Realist Podcast gives
well,
us
just
a little
a lot of different
bit
things
of ADD.
Going on. But so you made the point when you said, fuck, what was it else? What else did you say about that goddamn thing? Fuck, there was one other thing I wanted. I hate when this happens.
About women being
no, shady. About that incident with the guy punching the chick.
Oh, I said that there's just guys are fighting back.
I'm sorry. So this is, yes. Okay. So that's exactly. Thank you. See, that's all I needed. That little. So what the way I describe this, and this is a theme that I've just been interested in, and I think I'm involved in that trend, that blowback. I'm not like as hostile as some people.
Well, I think that's what the men's rights movement. What the guys we fuck girls are talking about is that. That's what they get. That's what they pick off of us. And they don't understand that this is literally just a fucking Counter-Strike.
Me and Gavin were talking about this on the phone a few weeks ago. And this is what I said to him, which I think is the right.
Are you kidding me, dude?
What?
You were talking to Gavin Rossdale? How'd you get his number?
Ever since he joined the Kumia Network, we've been friends. He's a great guy. It's a weird thing because it's like...
So, Dave, please tell me about your political policies. Not even.
I'm just trying to have a conversation, just playing his song on the other end. I'm like, dude, but all right, I'll rant. It works. But so I just ran over the song. No, but it was saying, like, the way I described it is, you remember on The Simpsons? I just take that joke because it just always stood out to me when I was a kid. I thought it was so funny. And it's probably an old Simpsons, like in the 90s, 95, if I had to guess. But you remember the joke where it's Homer's watching a black comedian on stage and he's like, you know, white people drive their, you know, black people drive his car. He's like, all chilled out. Like,
love it.
And he goes, white people drive their car like, I'm driving my vehicle. And it cuts to Homer and he goes, it's so true. We're so lame. Right? So this was kind of, to me, that just encapsulated, as the Simpsons are great at just encapsulating culture, that was the tone of the baby boomers. You know what I mean? It was, this is how we deal with racism, is like, we're lame, we're the butt of the joke.
Great.
Our generation is growing up.
You should
in
post
a first
that
world.
Clip on Facebook making that point.
Well, look, here,
I'm so good at social
media.
Okay,
fine. Maybe I will, because this is something I've made, the point I've made before on the podcast and stuff. But our generation has come up. We're in 2015 in a first world country. We are amongst the richest, freest, most privileged people who have ever existed. And I think, by and large, a lot of the kind of smarter, less pussy-whipped white guys are just going like, I'm over that.
Yep.
I'm over that. Fuck that. This isn't real anymore. This dumb... And weirdly, on the other side, the left is clinging more to that than ever. They're clinging more to that. The entire vision of the left of being like, we should be colorblind, you know, Martin Luther King's, don't judge a man on the color of his skin, judge him on the content of his character, that's over. The left gave up on that. Now it's like, be very aware of the color of your skin. If you're white, you're privileged. You can't say the same thing as the other people. If I'm black, I have to constantly talk about being black and the black struggle.
Gavin's kind of brought up this point before where he was like, dude, how fucking unpunk rock are kids today? This whole liberal agenda is the most goody two shoes, faggoty pussy shit on the world.
Worshipping the authority figure.
I mean, dude, it's like what
Gavin says, walking around with your picture of your principal on your shirt in high school.
What the fuck is this, dude? Like, it's so not rock and roll. It's so not fucking drinking beers in the parking lot after school and finger banging chicks under the bleachers. Like, that's kind of who we are. So it's so weird that we're just kind of pumping the opposite notion into this generation of kids. They're just unlikable people. I tweeted that recently. I was like, dude, I'm, you know, pro-choice. I'm pro-women's rights. I'm pro-gay marriage. I'm against people having guns. I don't want to get so into that. It's not that I want to take everyone's guns away. I'm just saying, I don't think people should have guns. People shouldn't be able to press a button and kill people. That's all I feel. But
guys, listen to part of the problem in 30 minutes. I'll destroy that argument.
I have all of these views, but I still would much rather hang out with a bunch of fucking right-wing Republican
guys.
That's
a great point.
Because they're just not
pussies. Dude,
you
should put that on Facebook. Oh, you already did. I'm not good with social media ideas.
You really aren't.
But no, you're right, dude. It's an excellent point. And I think something that if liberals were smart, they would look in the mirror about that. And this is the point I was trying to make when we brought that Billy Prashita kid on, which maybe Legion of Skanks wasn't as good a form as like this or my show would be. But you know what I mean? Like, he's like as liberal as you could be. He was telling me before the show, it was making me nauseous. He was telling me that he doesn't think he can really be a leader in a movement because as a white man, his narrative's been overrepresented. No. Like, he's that guy. And they're still destroying him.
Yep.
Like, you can't even be... They said he doesn't use feminist language enough. What type of fucking Nazi are you where a guy has to actually say the word you chose? That's how close to your view he has to be.
Real ass shit on the Real Ass Podcast today. Post roast.
Bonnie ruined my set.
Fatigate, did you watch the roast? Not yet.
It was great. Lewis bombed.
Do you feel like Fatigate? Come talk on Dave's mic for a minute, real
jump
quick.
Jump on Lewis's mic.
Just talk with Dave for a minute. I just want to see you guys close. Your fucking Jew faces, nose to nose.
I'm not Jewish.
Look, everyone. This is who we must murder. Attack, Gomites. Attack the Jews. Are we liable for saying shit like
Everyone
that?
Everyone thinks I'm Jewish. I'm not.
Can I ask you a question, Fatigate? Because I'm going to make a commitment to my fans right now because I'm doing something new. And I don't have it yet, but I'm going to start it next week. I'm doing a Patreon account. I'm going to make a commitment to my fans that we're never going to sell advertising on this show. Now, we haven't talked about this. But
Why would you blindside me with this?
It's not being blindsided. I just need the fans to know that we're going to make a commitment to never sell advertising on this show.
I think that's an awful thing to commit to right now.
Don't listen to John, guys. Listen to me. We'll talk about this. We're never going to have advertising on the Real Ass Podcast or Hammer Fisting. Oh, wait, I have advertising on Hammer Fisting. I'm going to drop the Hammer Fisting advertising.
You're a dick. You know that?
What?
This is why people don't like you.
People like me? They don't like me at first, and he knows me already. He gets what he's...
No, John likes you, but he likes everybody.
He knows what he jumped into bed with when he got into the real-ass fucking business with the Puerto Rican rattlesnake.
Nobody knows what they're jumping into bed with when they get in there with you. You force them in, okay? Now, and that's...
I force myself into their bed. That's the deal. We're going to talk...
I just put John on the spot like that with a shitty way to ask him to commit to never making any money for himself off this podcast.
We're doing no advertising.
For all he's invested in this, please commit to this could never do anything for you. It can only help me.
We're very punk rock.
How could you ask him to do that?
Dave, this is my show. You do whatever you want with your show. This is my show.
I do whatever I want anywhere.
Yeah. So
it's unsustainable, Lewis. Here, how are we supposed to make, like, look at the amount of investment around you. Like, how would we ever make this money?
John,
we're underwater.
We're gonna figure this out, John. Don't you worry about this. Guys, we will never have advertising on the Real Ass Podcast. It's a real ass commitment that I'm gonna make to you guys, the Real Ass fans, who have been here with me. How many episodes now?
Like 60
episodes, guys.
No, 50 something.
At least 50. That's a real ass deal, man. Thanks, John. You told me not to call you pig vomit on the show, but it is so fitting. All right, look, dude, we're going to get out of here in a minute. Dave, what do you got coming out? Anything to plug, man? Obviously, your show right after this.
Yeah, just come check out Part of the Problem if you don't already listen to it. AnthonyCumia.com.
Yeah, right. Okay. If you're listening right now, dude, stick around. Part of the Problem right after this. Dave Smith, who do you got on today?
It's just me and Brank. We had a guest, but flaked.
Who was the guest?
No, I don't want to put it out there. We had to reschedule. It's actually
Rock.
Half my fault.
Chris Rock
was supposed to be here. He's but he will be here next year. So just keep listening.
But you could just do that. Like, why not? Like, who gives a shit? You can just say like, oh yeah, dude. It was supposed to be Jennifer Aniston was supposed to come to the Real Ass Podcast today, but she bailed last minute. So next time, guys. Like, nobody would ever know.
Yeah, that's probably not a good example. There's probably lots of people who know where she is.
Yeah, but I mean, are they going to, how would they have
She's filming
fans?
A movie in Tokyo.
It's so
whatever, she's such a bear.
Why would she commit to fly all the way over the Real Ass Podcast?
Oh, what a twat.
That's how much pull we have. I'm not going to blame her.
Follow me on Twitter at Comic Dave Smith. I am starting to use Twitter more. I'm starting to use social media a little bit more. I'm trying.
Dave's good. Dave's very funny.
I'm a very funny guy. I'm just, I've never achieved anything. If you watch the roast, you would have gotten the gist of that.
So guys, do me a favor. Check out my other podcast, Hammer Fisting, obviously the Legion of Skanks, with myself and Dave Smith. Got a lot of dates coming up. Really not till September, October, but I got a lot of shit coming up.
Closing out
then.
With the mermaid song? All right.
Thanks. Can you please not interrupt me? This is my closing music. I have to say all these things in like 32 seconds.
Did you have me on your show and think I wasn't going to interrupt you? Was that a realistic expectation?
Guys, go to my website, gomezcomedy.com. Nashville's coming up. Maui, Hawaii is coming up. And Rhode Island. It's great if you live there. It's not a bad place, but it's nowhere near as cool. All right, we're out, man. Next week. Peace.
That's all, folks.